Welcome to Understanding Your Bible. We're glad you tuned in today, and I hope that the broadcast will be a blessing to you. I hope that you'll follow along in the scriptures if you can. If not, maybe you can jot these scriptures down as we go through them and go back and look at them after the broadcast. Also, at the end of the broadcast, we'll be giving you some information about how you can contact us if you would like to do so. This is Pastor Steve Atwood from Grace Bible Church here in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And the title of our program is Understanding Your Bible. And our desire is to give you some information that will help you to understand your Bible. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And I believe that that really is the key to understanding your Bible. That is, to rightly divide the word of truth and to distinguish between the doctrine given to the church, the body of Christ, and to the nation Israel. We're going to talk about something today where that particular principle is of utmost importance, and that is the gospel of the grace of God. The Apostle Paul, who was given the dispensation of the grace of God, was also given the gospel of the grace of God. In Acts chapter 20, Paul makes a statement there in regard to the gospel that he preached. He says in Acts 20 verse 24, "None of these things move me, but neither count I dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus testify the gospel of the grace of God." Today, there's a lot of different aspects of the gospel. There's a lot of different things that people believe about the gospel that are in the Bible, but they're misunderstood because people do not rightly divide the word of truth. For example, Jesus Christ in Matthew 24, he told his 12 disciples, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come." Well, it's obvious that Paul was not preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Paul said he was given the gospel of the grace of God. He also calls it the gospel of Christ in other places. But the point is that the gospel, according to Romans 1:16, is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So what we want to do today is consider the gospel given to the Apostle Paul and be able to look at the scriptures and come to an understanding that there is more than one gospel in the Bible. There's a lot of people today, they get upset with you when you present the idea that there's more than one gospel. Well, all you have to do are read the words out of the Bible, and it becomes evident that there is more than one gospel. As a matter of fact, if you go back to Matthew chapter 4, in the very beginning of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says in Matthew 4:23, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. You see, the gospel that we find in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is the gospel of the kingdom. That's the gospel that John was preaching in Matthew chapter 3. He said, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So in Matthew 3, John is preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." In Matthew 4, the Bible says Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And then he spends 3 years teaching and instructing his disciples. And just a short time before his crucifixion, the Lord Jesus Christ says that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come. So the gospel of the kingdom was the good news that the king had come, that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, the one sent from God to sit upon the throne of David to rule and reign over the nation Israel. And that was what they were looking forward to. Jesus Christ reveals to them that he must die, and he does die on the cross, and he, in doing so, he pays for the sins of the whole world. But the gospel of the kingdom had to do with simply the fact that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. He was God's only begotten Son. And the gospel of the kingdom did not include the same information that Paul's gospel included, that Paul calls the gospel of the grace of God. Now, it's interesting in your Bible when you consider salvation as it's presented in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as it's presented in the early part of Acts, and then as it's presented in Paul's epistles. For example, in Matthew chapter 19, there's a man that comes to Jesus, and he says in Matthew 19:16, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto them, Which? And Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, I have kept all these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? And Jesus said, If thou be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." Now, one thing about understanding the Bible is that to really understand the Bible, you have to believe the Bible. You have to believe the words mean what they say. And because people many times will not acknowledge the fact that God deals differently with the nation of Israel than he does the church, the body of Christ, there are many explanations given for scriptures rather than simply believing they mean what they say. This man came to Jesus and said, What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said, If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Now, if someone came to me today and asked me, What must I do to have eternal life? I would not tell them to keep the commandments. And yet that's what Jesus told them. But he told them that because of the time period in which it was stated, and also because he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And that gospel of the kingdom included the keeping of the law. Jesus Christ told his disciples in Matthew 23, he said, "The scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All, therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say, and do not." You see, Jesus Christ told that man to keep the commandments. He told his disciples to keep the commandments, to observe the law. And so, that's different from what the Apostle Paul says when he says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Lord Jesus Christ is preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And that's the same gospel that he instructs the 12 to teach, and he tells them that that gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come. So when we get over to Acts chapter 2, after the day of Pentecost has come, we find Peter there preaching a murder indictment to the nation Israel. And that murder indictment includes the fact that the nation Israel, and he says several times in Acts chapter 2, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words." The fact is that Acts chapter 2 is a chapter where Peter is preaching to the men of Israel, not the church, the body of Christ. The doctrine for the church, the body of Christ, is not in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The doctrine for the church, the body of Christ, is not in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, Peter is preaching to the men of Israel. He's preaching a murder indictment to them. As a matter of fact, he says there in Acts chapter 2, in verse 36, he says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel," again preaching to Israel, "know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." In other words, what Peter is preaching is that the one that you crucified there on the cross, God has raised him up and made him both Lord and Christ. What was their response to that? Their response was, verse 37, Acts 2:37, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now, that is the message that Peter preached. Those were the words that he spoke, and he meant every one of them. He did not say, "Repent and be baptized because you have remission of sins." He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. You know, for many years, I really struggled with that verse because I dealt with people that believed in baptismal regeneration. And I didn't understand the verse rightly, dispensationally considered, and it always caused confusion to me because the verse does say that there has to be baptism for the remission of sins. But you see, that's the message that Peter was preaching that was a carryover of the message he was taught, this gospel of the kingdom. And just like John came forth preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, Peter comes along and in preaching the same gospel that John was preaching back there in Matthew 3, says repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. So there's a man that comes to Jesus in Matthew 19 and says, what must I do to have eternal life? And he says, keep the commandments. In this particular instance, they asked Peter, they said, what shall we do? He says, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. But it's interesting when the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts is asked basically the same question, what his response is. In Acts chapter 16, in verse 26, Paul is in prison there, and the Bible says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now, remember, that was basically the question asked to Jesus. What did Jesus say? Keep the commandments. Was question asked to Peter. What did Peter say? Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. But notice what Paul said when he said, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Now, when we compare Scripture with Scripture, we can readily find out what message they were to believe about the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. In Romans 1:16, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So the question comes up then, what is that gospel that Paul is preaching? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 1, he says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So we see a very simple statement of facts in regard to the gospel. What is that gospel? Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That is the gospel that we're to preach today. The gospel is not repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. The gospel is not keep the commandments. The gospel is not sell what you have and come and follow me. The gospel is Christ died for your sins. He was buried. He was raised again the third day. And Paul says he was raised again for our justification. So you see, today, the issue with the gospel is not what we do, but it's what we believe. Jesus Christ came over 2,000 years ago, and he hung on a cross, and he bled, and he suffered, and he died for the sins of all men. And when he died on that cross, even though it wasn't made known at that time, he was dying for the sins of all men. But that information was kept a secret until it was revealed to the Apostle Paul. As a matter of fact, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the prince of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You see, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, as far as Israel was concerned, John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." But the idea there was is that people would believe in Jesus Christ, they would be baptized for the remission of sins, and Peter said in Acts 3:19, "Repent and be converted, your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." The gospel that Paul preached and the gospel that we find in Romans 3, Philemon is without a doubt the gospel of the grace of God. It's the gospel that says all men everywhere can be saved, not by going through Israel, not by blessing Israel, not by being a part of Israel, but by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul, he makes it clear that the gospel which he preached is a different gospel than the one that was committed to Peter and the other apostles. As a matter of fact, Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11, he said, "I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ." And so we see that the gospel that Paul preached, he received not from the 12. As a matter of fact, he says there in Galatians chapter 2, "Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem and with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain." Now, all you have to do is stop and think. Just put your thinking cap on and think about this. Why would Paul go up to the church at Jerusalem there in Acts 15 and communicate to them that gospel which he was preaching among the Gentiles if he was preaching the same gospel that was being preached there at that church in Jerusalem? Well, obviously he wouldn't. You see, the fact is that the Apostle Paul was given the gospel of the grace of God. Paul said two or three times in the book of Romans that he is the apostle to the Gentiles. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, "Be ye followers of me." In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, "Be ye a follower of me." And the reason for that is because it was through the Apostle Paul that the dispensation of the grace of God came to light and the gospel of the grace of God was proclaimed. And that gospel of the grace of God is the gospel whereby every person today is saved. There's not more than one gospel today that can save a person. As a matter of fact, in that same book of Galatians, Paul warns. He said in Galatians 1:6, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." And you know something, folks? Today, in 2007, the reason there is so much confusion about salvation is because there is not, in many instances, a clear presentation of the gospel of Christ. There is that perverted gospel out there that says, yes, Christ died for your sins, but now you've got to join the church, you've got to be baptized, you've got to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, you've got to give your money, you've got to live a good life, you've got to do this, do that, or whatever, rather than simply preaching the unadulterated grace of God, that salvation is by grace, through faith, and that alone. I can't tell you how many times I've heard somebody say on the radio or other places, Christ died for your sins. Now, if you'll give your heart to Jesus and repeat the sinner's prayer, confess your sins, God will save you. You see, all of those things are works. And Paul said it's not by works, lest any man should boast. So today, in the dispensation of the grace of God, salvation is by grace, through faith alone, and those that believe that and trust that are saved. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, one of the things that we find in today's religion is that there's really a misunderstanding about what salvation really is. You see, most people are look at salvation as a means of getting their sins forgiven. And so, like in the Old Testament where they brought the sacrifices, today there's still a debate among people about how do we get our sins forgiven. Well, you see, that's the whole problem is the people don't understand what the real issue is in salvation. Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, the Bible says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. You know what the good news of the gospel is to you today? Is that God is not angry at you. God is not mad at you. God's not trying to get back at you. God loves you, and he proved that love for you in sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and pay for all your sins. As a matter of fact, the verse I just read there says, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. You see, God is not holding your sins against you today. Why? Because when Jesus Christ hung on that cross and bled and suffered and died, all of your sin was upon him. Here in the same chapter, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us. When Jesus Christ hung on the cross, God made him to be sin for us. He says, who knew no sin? Jesus Christ was without sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So the good news today is not repent and be baptized for remission of sins. It's not keep the law and God will save you. It's not do anything in your flesh and God will save you. It is that Christ died for your sins. He was buried. He was raised again the third day, proving himself to be the Messiah sent from God. But when he hung on that cross and bled and died, he paid for the sins of all men. And that's what Paul is saying here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He's not imputing your trespasses. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, Paul said he has forgiven you all trespasses. So your sins are forgiven. They're not forgiven when you go down into the baptismal water. They're not forgiven when you confess them. They're forgiven back there at that cross 2,000 years ago. And what you need to do is accept, if you're lost, you need to accept the free gift of salvation that's offered you when Christ died for your sins and paid for all of them. You say, but what about if I sin afterwards? Don't I have to confess them? Listen, if they're all forgiven, what benefit would there be in you confessing them in order to get forgiveness? Paul said, he has forgiven you all, that's all trespasses, every one of them. He's not holding any of your sins against you today. You've been reconciled to God by the death of his son. He's not imputing your trespasses. He's not imputing sin to you today because of what his son did at Calvary. All your sins were placed upon him. So all that's left for the individual to do today is simply believe that and trust in what Jesus Christ did at Calvary and accept as a free gift salvation. That's the simplicity of the gospel. And that's what Paul feared would be corrupted. Paul said to the Corinthians church there, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, he says, I fear lest by any means the serpent beguile thee through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. It really is simple, folks. You see, salvation is not hard. Religion has made it hard. Failure to rightly divide the word of truth has made it hard. People teaching the wrong gospel for the wrong period of time is what has made it hard and complicated the issue. But the issue is really simple. Christ died for your sins. God made him to be sin for us. And by faith and trust in what Christ did, we can be saved. So I would invite you today to consider the things that you've heard here. And if you've never been saved, maybe you're like me. I was in church. I started preaching at 18 years old, but I was 22 or 23 years old before I ever heard a true, clear presentation of the gospel. And it was after that that I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. So I would invite you today to consider what you've heard here on this broadcast and consider the fact that Christ died for your sins. And it's not what you do that is important. It's what Christ did, and it's your acceptance of that that brings salvation. So if today you, by faith, will accept him, accept the free gift of salvation, it'll be yours. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to do anything to earn it. You don't have to repeat a sinner's prayer. All you have to do is, by faith, in your heart, trust, that is, totally depend upon what Christ did, and just totally relax in what he did for you and accept it as the free gift that it is. When you do that, you have salvation. And it's the one most wonderful thing in the world to have that peace of God that passes all understanding. It comes by believing the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel that is for today, not the gospel that was the gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel preached to Israel, not the gospel in Acts chapter 2, but the gospel committed to the Apostle Paul by revelation. And you find that information in your Bible in Romans through Philemon. It really is important to rightly divide the word of truth. And it's important to do that when you consider the gospel that Paul preached as the gospel of salvation for us today in the dispensation of the grace of God. I appreciate you tuning in today, and I want to extend to you an invitation to come and be with us in our services at Grace Bible Church. We're located at 3827 Hickson Pike here in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and we would love to have you come and be with us. All the emphasis at Grace Bible Church is on Bible study. We're a small group, and we don't have a lot of formality and that kind of thing, but we get together and we study the Bible and equip ourselves to do the work of the ministry by the Word of God. So we would invite you to come and be with us. We have Sunday school at 10 o'clock. We have our morning service at 11. And then each Sunday night, we have Bible study at 6 p.m., an informal Bible study back in our fellowship hall where we just sit around the tables and have a time of Bible study there. And so we would invite you to come and be with us. I'd also invite you to visit our website. That website is www.understandingyourbible.com. Also, you can reach us by telephone at 423-847-0768. This information will be repeated in just a moment at the end of the broadcast, but I wanted to give it to you. And if you didn't get that, grab a pencil and paper and write it down. And if you have any questions or comments about the broadcast, we would love to hear from you. When you go to our website, understandingyourbible.com, that's all one word, there's a link there to the pastor's email. You can send an email and ask any questions that you would like to ask or make any comments you'd like to make about the broadcast. We would love to hear from you. And as you visit the website there, you can listen to other messages. Our TV program is on there, and you can click on those and watch the TV program right online. And we would love for you to do that. Also, for those of you in the Chattanooga area, we're on TV every Sunday night, Comcast Channel 46, 8:30 on Sunday night. We would invite you to tune into the broadcast and watch those broadcasts. And again, if you want to contact us, we would love to hear from you. Whether your comments are positive or negative, it doesn't matter. Anything you have in relation to the broadcast, we would love to hear it. Again, I hope that you'll tune in next week to the broadcast as we continue to study the Bible according to 2 Timothy 2:15, and that is rightly dividing the word of truth. That is really the only way that you can understand your Bible.